Let's go from where we are right here. I want you to go to Psalms 150, and I want you to see what the Lord tells us to do. Psalms 150. It's just a few verses. When we'll come back to verse 5. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His heavenly dwelling. Praise Him in His mighty heavens. Praise Him for His mighty works. Praise His unequal greatness. Now then, what is He telling you to do? Why don't we do that? Why do we get so stiff-necked? Why do we not praise Him? You know, I mean, just like my little Kathy that works up in the front office, she said when somebody said something about the guy that led her to Jesus, she said, yes, he was the man at the Baptist church over here that always sat on the front row, and when they sang, he was the only one that ever had both hands up in the air. Said nobody else ever did that but Thurman. That he always had his hands up when he was worshiping and praising God. There's a lady in the post office one day over there, and she says, oh, Mr. Scrivener. I said, oh, young lady, I said, I don't know you. She said, well, I go to the same church you do, the Baptist church up here. I said, well, ma'am, how come I've never met you? I said, how come you know me? She said, well, I've got a 10-year-old son. And said, we always sit over on the other side over here. Said, you usually sit in the right-hand front side. And she said, my son, we were there at church one day, and my son says, Mama, what is wrong with that man over there? She said, which one? She said, the one with his hands up. And she said, well, honey, I guess he's just praising God. Well, why does he have his hands up and none of the rest of her have her hands up? He's the only one. She said, I looked down to him. She said, well, I guess he just loves Jesus more than we do. And so she said, he didn't ask no more questions. But she said, when we sung the next song, I looked down and my little son was holding his hands just like you were. If you're ashamed to hold your hands up, you don't love Jesus enough. Is that right? There should be no problem holding our hands up to worship and praise the King of the universe. He loves us. Think about what He done for us. And then He tells us in Psalm, praise the Lord. Praise God in His heavenly dwellings. Let's see what He says in verse 3 and 4. Praise Him with a blast of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lyre and the harp. Praise Him with the trembling and dancing. Uh-oh. For a Baptist, we got to erase that one out. We got to take that one out. So we'll say, praise Him with the tambourine and praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Now then, if you happen to go to a Church of Christ, you may have to take that whole psalm out. I don't know what you're going to do there. But, you know, the thing about it, I can't believe we get so stiff-necked over what God said in His Word. What's the problem? Praise the King. You know, just praise and worship God. Praise Him with the tambourine and dancing. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Verse 5 and 6. Praise Him with the clash of the cymbals. Praise Him with loud clanging cymbals. Let everything that lives sing praises to the Lord. Praise the Lord. I mean, those little six verses, if you don't get the idea that God wants you to praise Him, there's something wrong with you, right, Jack? I don't know how many times He told us to praise Him, but He said it in every verse, and sometimes two or three times, didn't He? Do you think God expects us to praise Him? I think He does, Bill. Yes, that He does. He inhabits the praises of His people. So when we praise Him, I've told people before, I said, there's people looked at me strange as I'm driving down the road. I'll be driving down the road with my knee underneath my steering wheel to hold it straight, and I got both hands up, praising the Lord. And when they drive by, I thought, wonder what's wrong with that guy? He's looking at me like something's wrong with me. And I say, oh, he must be wondering what I'm doing with my hands up in the air. I thought, praise the Lord. Do you know something? After I noticed a few people at the football game looked at me a little strange, I thought, I wonder why they're looking at me strange. Then I got to paying attention to what was coming out of my mouth. Every time anybody said anything or did anything, the first words that come out of my mouth were, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord Jesus. And then I thought, that's what they're doing. They think, what's wrong with this guy? Well, let me tell you, there ain't nothing wrong with me. If we're not praising Him, did He tell us to praise Him, Jack? Do you think He meant what He said? Yes. I forget. I went one time and looked up in the Psalms, how many times God told us to praise Him. And I forget now how many it was, but man, there was a bunch of them. I mean, look at one little chapter, 150. Every line says, praise Him. He's worthy to be praised. Is He not, Scott? So whenever we do something, when you start to do something at work, first thing you ought to say, praise the Lord, right? And you know that, don't you? So when we praise Him and worship Him, that's when He does wonderful things for us. That's when He heals you. When you praise Him and pray for your babies, you and Scott, and they get stung with wasps, He takes away the sting. Yeah, yeah. I didn't realize the other day that Scott and Kim were both there together, and they were both right there. And so when the children, one of them or two of them got stung with wasps, they prayed. And the stings were gone in just minutes. And the children will remember that forever. But they stood on God's Word. God, You said in Your Word, in Mark 16:18, no deadly poison shall hurt us. So we stand on that for our babies. And the fire went away. Yeah, it was you wasn't it? Yeah. And it only took just a minute or two for it to go away. Isn't it wonderful to have a mom and daddy know Jesus? Yes, it's wonderful to have a mom and daddy that knows the Word. Now then, let's go back to where we were there in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and 6. 5 and 6. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. There's a time for everything. A time to search and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to throw away. You know, there's a lot of us that need to throw away a lot of stuff once in a while. Right, Bill? I think Bill and Betty, they just got rid of 2 trailer loads of stuff and they gave it to us. You know, so in the office stuff, you know, beds. I mean, you know, we can always use this kind of stuff. I mean, this ministry center has been equipped with stuff that people have given us. I mean, the pews you're sitting on, they were given to us. You know, they had been sitting in a church in Arlington for 5 or 6 or 7 years. Another church had closed down, a little church, and they wanted to store these upstairs where they wasn't using the room, so they put them up there, and they'd been up there for years. And after 5 or 6 years, finally the pastor tried to call the other guy, and they're gone. And so he said, well, gee, I'm not going to store this stuff forever. So he put it on Craigslist, and I happened to find it. Just, the Lord led me to it. And he had all these pews, and they were upstairs. And so we went down there, and they were dirty. I mean, you know, they were really dirty and everything. We went down there and got them, and of course the guy couldn't believe we got them all on one trailer and one truck. He said, man, you guys know how to pack stuff. But me and Dave and Phil, I think it was, we went down there and we loaded these things up. We brought them home. We vacuumed, all of us vacuumed. We cleaned and we scrubbed and we done everything. And Kim steam cleaned them all. But look, boy, when we got through with them, look what they looked like. And they said comfortable, don't they? Yeah, they're very nice, you know. And it was given to us as a gift. So there was, those things had been down there for 5 or 6 years, but it was a time to clean out, and it was time for us to get them. And so we've used them, and I tell you, they're nice and comfortable. I like sitting on them. A time to keep and a time to throw away. Well, there was our time to keep them, and somebody else's time to throw them away. So we've made good use of this. Verse 7 and 8. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak up. Now, has any of us ever had the problem with a time when you knew it was time just to just not open your mouth? You wanted to say something, but you knew it was a time to be quiet. Now, if you obeyed that prompting of the Spirit, things went well. But if you don't obey that Spirit, you know, then it won't go well. If you know God is telling you to shut up, in other words, be quiet, don't retaliate, and you don't obey Him, then there's liable to be a knockdown dragout. Have we ever seen this between a man and a wife, a husband and a wife? That's usually where it happens. Whenever the wife gets all upset, you know, her hormones are not right this month, or this week, or whatever, and nobody can live with this girl this week. Or one day when the guy, his hormones is not flowing right either. And ain't nothing you can do that can please this guy today. You ever been like that in your life? Sure, we all had those kind of days. I mean, I woke up in the morning, you know, go to work, I feel like $1 million, I'm praising the King, and I think everything's great, and I say, oh, Lord, ain't nothing going to happen today to not make me praise and worship You. I'm just going to have a great day. 10 minutes later, I run into somebody, and they say something to me, it does, and I'm telling you, I am off out yonder on a tangent. Now, I know none of y'all ever done that besides me. You know what I'm talking about, Richard? You've had those kind of days too, have you? In other words, you're a human being just like me, right? So And probably in those kind of days, if I'd have just kept my mouth shut and hadn't said anything, I wouldn't have had all them problems. In a few minutes, it went by. And I will have to say that here a while back, Eldon and I worked together. Eldon, right up here on the front row. He was over here nearly every day, and we were working together doing different things. And every day, something broke. You know, and I just kind of, oh, well, that's just one of those things. Praise the Lord. We can fix it. And then at the end of the 2 weeks, we were down South Texas, and we were trying to work on a building we were working on. We were trying to put some cross braces in it, and we had to fire up the welder to weld these in. Well, we fired the welder up, and when it started, it blew gasoline everywhere. I mean, gasoline just come blowing out every hole in this thing. I shut it off right quick. I said, what in the world? And I checked, and the whole crankcase was completely full of gasoline. Folks just have oil in there. What had happened, the needle and seat had hung in the carburetor and let all the gasoline in a tank run, which the tank's above the engine, all the gasoline ran into the engine. All of it. Now then, praise God, because, you know, with gasoline blowing everywhere and the exhaust, which is only a little pipe about that long, you know how easy it would have been to have an explosion inside the building? Been so easy, but God was, you know, He watched over me. And we drained the oil out, the gasoline out, and cleaned it out, and cleaned the carburetor, and put it all back together, and put some gas in it, and fired it up, and it ran like a champ. I said, okay, praise the Lord. I said, now we'll weld these things up. So I got off, put my hood on, put a rod, and I put my ground deal on, and I started to, and it just barely a little tiny spark. Just barely a little tiny spark. I said, what's wrong with the welder? It won't speed up. I go back over there, and Eldon goes over and looks. He said, look here, the wire on the demand throttle is broken off right against the case. I said, well, Eldon, I looked at Morrison. I said, it's about 3:30 anyway, and we got to go all the way back to Dallas. I said, let's just leave it, and let's just praise God. Thank you, Lord, for breaking my welder. And we got ready to go. As we went to get in the truck, Eldon said, you know, Thurman, I've been with you almost 2 weeks. And he said, I've never seen a man tested like you've been tested in the last 2 weeks. He said, I believe that you've passed every test that God throws your way this last 2 weeks. I hadn't even thought about it like that.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, There is a Time for Everything, or you would like any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.